Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the How to Stay and Survive the Coronavirus Plague Briefing Podcast number 59. My name is Daniel White III. I am the president of Gospel Light Society International. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 21 through 25. You need to know from a biblical perspective what you're dealing with and what you're in, because if you don't, you will not know what to do. And you need to know what to do. You're blocking this over here. No, leave that, because you're blocking this over behind you. If you don't know what you're in, and if you don't know what you're dealing with, you don't know how to get out of it or how to survive it. And God wants you to believe His word. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 21 through 25 reads, "And Araunah said, Wherefore is my Lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." And always throughout the scriptures, when a plague was issued upon his people, God's people, you had to go to the altar. You had to go and deal with your sin that you've committed against him that caused the plague. Not go to the doctor. Not go to a lab to try to create a vaccine. You've got to go to the altar. Now, a vaccine might come. God could use that if you go to the altar first. But you got to deal with the sin that caused the plague to come. And that's with God's people. And I've already explained to you what the sins are that we in the church have done against God. And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice." Don't you love people like Araunah? When you, as the man of God or a Christian, comes, God leads you to a person, and because God is leading you to either buy a building or do something for the Lord, and God will cause you to run into people like Araunah. I thank God for people like that. These are people who they God has touched their hearts already to show you enormous favor. God will do it. And you just love these people. They make it so easy for you. Their hearts are already prepared, and whatever you need, they will help you with. And they overlook stuff and don't worry about that. Those kind of people don't worry about that. No. Well, here's all my paperwork and everything, and my credit. I don't need to see that. That's what the Araunahs of the world say. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. Don't bring no papers here. Just go ahead. Here's the deed. I'm signing it over to you. You just sign the back, and that's it. Now, they're not going to say, God has laid it on my heart and so forth, but God has already fixed it. Have you ever met an Arana in your life? God has already fixed it. They didn't have to see anything. All they had to see was your face, because God had already prepared them. They really don't know all that's going on, but they're just like Arana. Whatever, even by the whole thing, by the property, here's everything else you need. All the equipment, and the bulldozers, everything what you need. What? The Aranas. Thank God for the Aranas, man. They God used them to show you favor. They don't ask for anything. What you need? What is it? What? Here, take it. Thank God for Aranas. You know them. You had one or two in your life. You knew you were not. You were not prepared, and you didn't have the credit, and you didn't have the money to do it, but God had you to run into an Arana. He had already fixed their hearts. And Arana said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Arana as a king give unto the king. And Arana said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Arana, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. And thank God for the man of God who does the right thing. I appreciate your willingness to give it. But this is worth very much, and I must do right by God and by you. And here's what we're going to do. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doeth not cost me nothing. That doeth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Dr. David Guzik said David wanted to transform this place where chaff was separated from wheat into a place of sacrifice and worship. It would remain a place of sacrifice and worship, because this land purchased by David became the site of Solomon's temple. Arana had a good, generous heart and wanted to give David anything he wanted. Had Arana's noble offer been accepted, it would have been Arana's sacrifice, not David's. Nor would it have answered the end of turning away the displeasure of the Most High God, the plague. David knew that it would not be a gift nor a sacrifice unto the Lord if it did not cost him something. And we know that too. He didn't look for the cheapest way possible to please God. David's offering shows that David understood that the death of the 70,000 in Israel in the plague did not atone for his and Israel's sin. Atonement could only be made through the blood at that time of an approved substitute. Burnt offerings were to atone for sin. Peace offerings were to enjoy fellowship with God. This shows us from the beginning to the end, David's life was marked by fellowship with God. We finally see the man after God's own heart turning the occasion of his sin and its punishment into the occasion of worship in light of the plague. So in light of the plague, beloved, what ought we to do as God's people? Repent. Humble ourselves. Seek God's face. Turn from our wicked ways. And get back. Pray, get back to our first love, Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And then Jesus Christ himself said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. God and Jesus wants us to repent today, if we want to see this plague stayed. And evidently we have not done so yet, otherwise the plague would be stayed. And you'll be back in your church with everybody there, with bells on. But if you're not willing to repent, pastor and pastor's wife, deacons, associate pastors and ministers, you're not angels. You need to confess your sins and repent, and then lead everyone else to do the same. And God will stop the plague. He can stop it. There's no doubt about that. He's the one who started it. You can say it however you want to. He started it or he allowed it. Either way. But we're going over today, I do believe, over 100,000 people, according to their false, inaccurate count, dead in America. If that does not move you, I don't know what will move you. Now, I believe it's going higher. I predicted that when they said that, oh, only 60,000 will die. I said it's going to be higher than that. And it is, and it's going to continue to climb. Because I said at the very outset of this plague, that we are not in the church or in the American society. We are not in a repenting mood. We are too proud. We are too arrogant. We are too stubborn. We're smelling ourselves. And we believe our own press. That we're the great ones. We're the great American warriors. And we're not willing to deal with the sin in the church. There are pastors, preachers, associate ministers, pastors' wives, black and white, Evangelical, Baptist, Bible, Charismatic, Prosperity Gospel, Methodists, Episcopalians, who refuse. They name the name of Christ. People who are called by the Lord's name, Christians. Right now, even right now as I am speaking, refuse to repent of the main sins that have caused this plague. Number one, adultery and fornication among the ministers and the people. Number two, the abuse, sexual abuse, and even murder of children. Number three, homosexuality, the homosexual agenda and homosexual marriage and giving homosexuals the right to adopt children and make them twofold more the child of hell than themselves. God is not pleased. And right now there are churches who are called by his name, red, yellow, black, and white, who refuse to repent of those things right there. And some have repented of the adultery and the fornication. Some have repented of the sexual abuse of children. But they refuse to repent of that big devil, kahuna, homosexuality and marriage, for some strange reason. The devil is behind it. And until we repent, this plague will continue and get worse, or it will be replaced by another plague that is worse than this one. I know you don't want to hear it, but that's what's going to happen, dear friends, because God is not pleased and Jesus is not pleased. And that's why he's removing churches and closing churches. Stop blaming. Stop blaming the governors. Pardon me. Stop blaming the governors. Stop blaming the mayors. God has used them to preserve many lives in the church. Many people have died in the church through this coronavirus plague. Many, many hundreds, many thousands have died. Pastors, preachers, pastors' wives, young people in the church. Deacons, treasurers, all kinds of people have died from the church because the church refuses to confess her sins and repent and turn from her evil ways. That's right, I said it. The church refuses to repent and turn away from her adultery, her fornication. You can try to mess with the internet all you want to. You can try to block what I'm saying all you want to. But the church refuses to repent of her fornication and her adultery. The abuse, sexual abuse, and killing of children. And the big one they refuse to repent of and turn away from is, just stay focused on this. Stay focused on this. Is homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and the homosexual agenda. And not until the church is fully repenting of that foolishness and telling the government to do so, including this president, to overturn everything the previous president did, America is going to be messed up for a long time to come. And so you might as well get used to it. Yes, that's right. Get used to your new normal. Dr. Leonard Ravenhill, the great prophet of our time, said, "Do not we rest in our day too much on the arm of flesh? Cannot the same wonders be done now as of old? Do not the eyes of the Lord still run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who put their trust in him? Oh, that God would give me more practical faith in him. Where is now the Lord God of Elijah? He is waiting for Elijah to call on him." God is still in his place. We're looking for Elijah. Where's Elijah at? Our news segment, according, as I've already mentioned to you, according to the AP, the number of deaths from the coronavirus in America will soon cross, according to their inaccurate, lying, hiding count, because it's in the headlines today that states are covering up how many people are dying. The government does not want you to know, from the federal government down to the local numbers, the local government. They don't want you to know the numbers, for real. But this is bad enough. It's really, I believe, over a quarter of a million, 250,000, have already died in America. But the government and the media, they're all in cahoots to not tell you the truth. Why? Because the job of the government and the media is to not alarm you and not scare the daylights out of you. That's too, in their mind, that's just too much. They can't take it. The people can't take that. But it will soon cross, I believe today, over 100,000. And we still have people in the government and in the media making jokes about it, not taking it seriously, trying to focus everybody on everything else. I said over 100,000. I didn't say 100. That would be bad enough. I did not say 1,000. 100,000. Get that. Get it if you can. And while people are doing what? All across this country. We saw a little bit of yesterday. Crowding into pools on purpose. Crowding into onto the beach. Party hard. Jam, jam, boogie, boogie. Letting the good times roll. Letting the good times roll. While people are dying by the thousands every day in our country, meaning in your state, yes, in your county, yes, in your city, and the devil and the people in the government and in the media are trying to cover it up and hide it, and we just grinning and smiling. We have a sickness in America. We think that we are better than. We think we're somebody. And to the point where we don't even want to accept the truth about what is going on. If you can reach this, cut it on, please. right here, without doing any harm. Brighten this for me, please. According to the AWA, the coronavirus may still be spreading at epidemic rates. No, not this. This is right here. In 24 states, particularly in the South and Midwest, according to new research that highlights the risk of a second wave of infections. In places that reopen too quickly or without sufficient precautions. According to CNN, the WHO warns that 80 million babies worldwide could be at risk of preventable diseases such as measles and polio because the coronavirus plague, what they call pandemic, has disrupted immunization programs in at least 68 countries. According to the Washington Post, the World Health Organization has warned that countries could face a second peak of coronavirus cases at any point, even before a presumed second wave of infections months from now. The governor of Arkansas said his state is facing a second spike as well as some other states. Preparation. My job is to help you get prepared for what is to come and not to believe the lies and the hype of the government and the lies and the hype of happy talk pastors who are foolishly trying to hide the pain of this plague instead of letting it hurt, letting it be a warning to everybody to repent, to pray, to humble themselves, to seek God's face, to turn from their wicked ways, and to turn their eyes towards Jesus, and to get back to their first love. I am here to tell you that things are not going to get better anytime soon. This country will never recover from this in a real sense, ever. Even Time magazine is saying that the people who are graduating this year from high school and college will never forget this time, will forever be impacted by this time. The whole world around the globe will be, but especially in America. Get ready. Now here are some tips for getting through the coronavirus. I've already talked with you about stopping it. If you're not willing to do that, those few of you who are faithful saints, the faithful few, the 7,000 preserved by God, here's how to survive it. Here's another way on how to survive it. Supporting your immune system with vitamins. There are many young people who don't believe in the power of vitamins, but vitamins, natural good vitamins, are good for you and will help you. Some of you can't handle any stress because you don't take vitamins. You're not getting the B complex vitamins. You need that. Some of you can't handle life because you don't get enough vitamins in your food and you won't take the supplements for some reason. That's very stupid. I hate to say it that way, but it's very stupid. You need to go get yourself some vitamins. Go to the health food store and get you some vitamins. The ones at Walmart will help you get to where you need to go, but the better ones are in the health food store. They're more natural. They're natural. Some of you women need to get you some what I call female tea. They have it in the health food store. You need to get it. You can't handle anything. Every little thing bothers you because you don't have your body in the right shape. You need to take vitamins. You need to at least drink a shake in the morning. You need to eat regularly. And you need to exercise. Depending on your age and your situation, at least 3 times a week, but preferably 4 to 5 times a week. You will feel better if you did that. You will sleep better. In fact, you will not sleep well without proper vitamins going through your blood vessels, man. Okay, you need to do this. I know you don't want to do it or whatever, but you need to do this. You need to listen to me on this. Get yourself a bottle of vitamins. You can get some at Walmart for $3 and some. They're just as good as some of the other ones. $4. And you take one every day. If you don't do anything else, just take that one multivitamin and multimineral. It'll make all the difference. And is a great way to protect yourself from catching colds, flu, and even the coronavirus. It builds up your immune system. As we have seen, and if you did get something, it'll help you get out of it. Above your medicine, take your vitamins. I already got to take 10 pills right now. Take one more. Above your medicine that the doctor gave you, take your multivitamin and multimineral one thing a day. Above that, first. And then when you make your shake in the morning in the blender, take a multivitamin, throw that bad boy in there and have that to be in your shake. And make your shake big enough where you can drink 2 or 3 of them at a time. And vitamins are not anything to play with either. You can't make up for not taking them on a regular basis. You're going to get a headache. It's a headache that is not fun. You take too many vitamins. So as we have seen in recent months, food and supply shortages can occur when the supply chain gets interrupted. If you have to live off your supplies, will you be getting all the necessary nutrients as a form of insurance? It's a good idea to include vitamins and vitamin boosters in your emergency food storage. So when you go out and buy your food in the can, you know you're not getting everything you're supposed to get out of a can. So supplement that with some vitamins. And I would lovingly encourage you to get some meal replacement drinks. When things get tight or you're tight on time, you can put something in your stomach in the morning. Meal replacement. If you're diabetic, Glycerna. It's a great meal replacement. Don't eat anything, just drink that shake. Drink it with your coffee. It's a great creamer to put into your coffee as well. You see, SlimFast, you can use SlimFast. SlimFast can be used not only for fat people, but for slim people to keep them in shape. SlimFast is a meal. Did you know that? They put enough stuff in there chemically for you to survive on for 4, 5, 6 hours. And that's probably the cheapest meal replacement out there. Stock up on that. It'll last a while. Stock up on it. You're going to need some help down the road, and those meal replacements will help you. They're not going to replace a meal, you know, as far as for a long period of time. Now you're going to have to eat something, but that meal replacement shake will help you. They have some at the health food store that are healthier than the ones from SlimFast. and from Glucerna. They're natural. Get those. Make your own. You can make your own shake. Oh, yes, you can. Meal replacement shake. Put some peas in there. That's all the protein you need. Some green peas. Eat your bowl of green peas. Some of the best cooking, best food you'll ever have is some green peas, a bowl of green peas. Put that in your shake. Put some spinach in your shake. Buy the spinach that's up front in the grocery store, that not in the bag, not in the frozen section, but up front. It's loose. Get the real spinach. Get the real broccoli, if you will. I know that frozen. Frozen will do. You can't get the fresh. Get the real kale, the fresh kale, out there all by itself, not in a bag. That's what you need to get. You can get that for 98 cents. A bunch of it. Lasts you all week long. Throw those bad boys right there, broccoli, peas, kale, and spinach, and you throw some put a vitamin in there, you got something that'll help you sustain yourself. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, yes, it will. I'm trying to help you. Drink that in the morning. Now, I told you I would continue to tell you about online jobs. You need one. You're going to need one. Get one now while you can. Online jobs. Here are some online jobs from Flex Jobs. Number one, project manager, accounting, loan closer, product campaign manager, senior customer agent, experienced business analyst, specialist, strategic sourcing, concierge, web and marketing, analytics, lead technical writer, project manager, web producer, jobs you can find on Upwork. Go to Upwork.com, go to Flex Jobs. Write this down. FlexJobs.com. There's hundreds of jobs available. You might have to retrain. That's all right. Go to Upwork. Upwork. Upwork.com. Here are some jobs there. Web, mobile, and software developer. IT and networking, data science, and analytics engineering. Architecture design. Creative writing, translation, legal admin support, customer service and sales and marketing jobs, accounting and consulting jobs. And so you need to understand there are jobs available. You don't have to go out into the plague to work. Pull your resume together. Make sure you have the right level of interest in something and apply for these jobs. Improve yourself. You can get two or three jobs that can replace your income just like that. And there's nothing, you hear me well, you hear me well now. The American dream is not just getting a house and so forth. The American dream really is working for yourself and therefore having the freedom to enjoy your life. That's the American dream. It's not buying a house and picket fence and a little dog and all that. You can probably still do that as a part of the dream, but the American dream is working for yourself, being independent, being able to take a lunch break when you want to, being able to spend time with your children when how you want to, and having your children with you and having them to grow up with you instead of somebody else. That's the true American dream. God may be using this plague to set you free from the trap of 9 to 5, working a job. There's so many people suffering right now. And you ought to say never again. So many millions of people are suffering. You know why? Because they, listen to me, don't get mad at me. Don't you get mad at me. I dealt with this issue many, many years ago. I wrote in one of my books about this, how that you need to avoid getting trapped in that lockdown mentality. Even college educated people get trapped with a job. And then when the job goes down, what happens? You go down. And that's what has happened. That's what has happened to millions of people as I'm standing here today. Thousands of them are listening to me right now on multiple platforms right now, who would be at work on a job, but the job is gone. And you ought to be saying never again. Never again, never, never, never again. I'm through. And I didn't like it anyway. I didn't like the fact they controlled my time. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be at a job at 6 that I didn't even want to go to. Got to deal with folks I don't want to be bothered with. And then got to spend another 2 hours in traffic to get home. I hated it in the first place. But I needed the check. And you went out there and got Bubba's stuff on that check. Bubba's furniture. Bubba's internet. Bubba's house. Bubba's car. And you paying Bubba out of that check. And now you don't have that check. Now you can't pay Bubba. And Bubba is trying to be nice right now, but he's coming for his stuff. And if you're not careful, you can be homeless. Why? Because you don't have your own business. You don't have your own job situation at the house. And guess what? You need to employ everybody at the house. Everybody ought to get a job. Or work in the business. Now, I love you. I'm not mad at you. But you see the trap you're in because you got trapped with the job. That's the American nightmare. Don't you get mad with me. That's the American nightmare. Getting caught up with a job. And when the job goes down or the job lays you off, there you are stuck. With bills to pay and no money. And they don't care. Have you learned they don't care about you? They care about their bottom line. JCPenney's right now is in bankruptcy, if I'm not mistaken. JCPenney. Before they went bankrupt, they paid all their executives millions of dollars, and the workers didn't get anything, hardly. And now they don't have a job. Listen to what I'm telling you, people. Get you something that you are the boss of. You can work it from your house. Why would you want? Why would you? And now they look at me. Look at me. Listen to me. Listen to me and look at me. In the newspapers, it's being reported that President Trump and Mitch McConnell taking away the extra $600 that you're getting for unemployment. Why? Why? Don't be foolish, people. Don't you be foolish, man. Don't let people play you like this. You know why? Because they want you to go back out there in the plague and go to work. Now, I know they don't like for me to say that, but that's what they want you to do, and to me, that's a crime. Don't worry about it. They already bugging my phone and bugging my computer, messing up my computer and so forth, and won't send me my money that they promised me. That's all right. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. I'm concerned about you. Now, some of you will go ahead on and accept that loss and go back out there and work in the plague. That's not smart, people. You know better than that. And you black people, I hope you understand that you don't need to be out there. Because black folk are checking out of that over 100,000, according to statistics, over 60,000, almost 70,000 are black. Don't be stupid now. I hate to say it that way, but don't be stupid. Money is not that important. Stop trying to be something you're not. If you're not rich, you need to downsize with the quickness. Get you one or two or three of these jobs. Get your young people in your family to help you to, y'all start a family business of working for somebody else if you want to work for somebody. Or start your own business. You can hire yourself out. You can work for Upwork for the jobs that they're gathering. Or you can start your own company doing the same thing for Upwork that you can do it for your own, do it for yourself. And keep all the money. Because Upwork take about 30% or something like that. They're gonna get paid from your labor. It's all right as long as you get enough jobs. At Upwork, you can make enough money in one day to last all week. And just report. Just tell the truth and report. Because the people will start knocking on your door and calling you and investigating. And they got some people to do it too. This new coronavirus reality, my beloved, could impact the way we all do business. Helping workers realize that they can do their job from anywhere. And helping employers appreciate that geography is a state of mind. It's a state of mind. You don't need to be at the job. And this plague has proven it. The Twitter owner said, y'all can stay home for the rest of your lives. Facebook owner Mark Zuckerberg is going in the same direction. I believe many others are going in the same direction. I'm waiting for a young innovative pastor to say, you know what, folks? We're going to keep the building. It's already paid for. Glory be to God. We're going to keep the building. But we're going to meet one Sunday out of the month, or one Sunday every quarter. We're going to keep on rolling just like this right here. The church has grown by leaps and bounds since we have been doing it online. And the money offerings and all of that has gone up without me having to ask you and beg you and plead with you. I'm waiting for a young, innovative pastor right now, or an old pastor. We're not going back the old way. The people are worshiping God in spirit and in truth in their house. I can see them. I see the numbers. They're inviting people to hear me preach the gospel by the hundreds and thousands. The offerings have gone up 50%. We're going to keep the building. We just paid the building off. And we just going to have celebration meetings once a month or once every quarter. Glory be to God. And I'm going to preach from the house. We're going back to the ancient church with this technology. Thank you, God, for this technology. What has God wrought? Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for a pastor to say it. Just like the Twitter owner. Just like Zuckerberg. Big man Gates getting ready to say it. Just stay home. Stay at your house. We got it. It's working beautifully. And for all of the gregarious, all of the extroverts, bless your heart. You create some other social ways to get together. And we'll have the service for especially you folk once a month. How about that? We won't make it once a quarter because of you extroverts and gregarious people who feed off of one another. But the introverts, they love it. Oh, man, they love it. This is a very intimate way of worshiping God, man. To be able to sit down on your couch in your pajamas and worship God in a very real sense and take communion and everything else. What? Glory be to God. Right now, over 2,000 people at least are participating in this service, this briefing. We've had over 2,000 in the first two services. It's total right now over 4,200 people have already come today just from what we are measuring here. We're not counting all the other platforms. What? On a Tuesday? What? 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 Helping workers realize that they can do their job from anywhere. You can, and if you can't serve God from anywhere, there's something wrong. In spirit and in truth. Glory be to God. Thus allowing people to work from wherever. Wherever. Wherever they choose. It's absolutely possible that because so many people are experiencing what it's like to work 100% remotely right now, that after the crisis has abated, some portion of those will remain interested in working remotely in the long term. You're talking about some portion, a whole lot of people, if they have any sense. What? You can sit down at your desk with your shorts on and with your robe on. You can get up a little bit later, go to bed a little bit later, take a nap when you want to. And if you're wise, you get the kind of jobs that is based upon the work, getting the work done, not time. No time. No time. Don't put no time on me. No time. No, 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 no. No time. Later for the time, based upon the product, based upon production, based upon getting the job done, because Danny B likes to get the job done and then go have big fun. No, no, don't tell me I got to spend 8 hours on something that I can get done in 2 hours, man. No. See, that's one of the reasons why you need to leave that job. Later for that. Got you on a time schedule. You a grown man, a grown woman. Got your time all tied up. Got to be there a certain time or you'll lose your job. Take your break at a certain time. Take a lunch break and they don't even give you enough time to eat your sandwich. A half an hour lunch break, 45 minutes, what? Are you kidding me? And then expect you to stay late and don't want to pay you. And then you got to sit in your car for 2 hours to get home. Are you kidding me? You better get yourself an online job. Get you an online business. See, that's one of the benefits of having online stuff. You can be doing two or three things. You can be doing something, husband and wife. The wife can be doing something. Your grown teenagers and young people can be doing something together. And you got three incomes coming in, and some of them pay the same day. Think about it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me show you how you can do it cheaper. Let me show you how you can do it cheaper. Here's what you need to do while you're applying for those jobs, because it may take you a little while to get those jobs and get the business that you need. And what you need to do is give back to Bubba everything you owe that you got from Bubba. Furniture, car, house, all that. Give that back to Bubba. And he'll take it back too. Just go in there now. Now, but don't put him in a situation where he got to force you to give it back to him, because that's going to be a bad situation. And that's the mistake some of you are making. This is not going to get better. You need to hear me now. And we thank God that we live in a country that has the kind of government we do have that would even think about giving us money. But you may be looked over. It's a big government. This is a big country. It's not perfect. And so everything doesn't, when you're dealing with the government, everybody knows everything does not work out perfectly. It's not like clockwork. And so you have to look out for yourself, because if you get yourself in the bind, they're not going to come and bail you out. And if they do, it's going to be a while and you would have already lost everything. Okay, so don't depend on the big GOV. Thank God if they do something for you. Glory be to God. We live in a country that gives us tax money back. So, you know, and you, we all know we don't need to, we ought not to get any money back. That's I don't know why they do that. But I'm glad they do. So we thank God that we live in America. But it doesn't always work out well. And people will act like they have amnesia in the government, or on the job, or in at your bank. And they have a script that they're reading to you out of their mind, that the people over them say, this is what you need to say to these people, because I want my money, or I want my house. I want my money, or I want my car. I want my money, or I want my furniture. That's these are the only two choices you have, or this is the choice that you have. That's it. And so they talk strange. You might be trying to appeal to their compassion, but these people, they X compassion out. They're not Jesus. So you need to downsize now. I don't care what the prosperity gospel preacher is telling you. Have faith. Believe God and all that. That sounds good. But Bubba don't believe in God. Beloved, Bubba believes in money, or he wants his stuff back. Okay? And he's being nice right now because the government is making him be nice. But they are loosening that up quickly. And so you need to go and talk with them right now about giving them their stuff back. And you try to get yourself some equity. Or you sell the stuff or whatever and get your money and pay them. And you keep some of the money and you move into something that's cheaper that you can pay for. And you need to do it now, because next year you're going to be glad you did. And either way, if things go bad, you'll be ready. If somehow everybody repents and God has mercy and removes the plague, you're still in a good position. You may not, once you downsize, you may not even want to go back to all that debt and showing off and trying to be somebody that you're not. I'm talking about fake it till you make it. My foot. I don't know anybody. I don't know why people want to live their lives with this pressure of debt. Got to pay this every month. Got to pay this every month. Got to pay. You know why we do it? Vanity. Trying to show off. Trying to keep up with the Joneses and everybody. Believing a lie preached by a preacher who's taking your money to live high on the hog himself. He's a liar. His feet ain't made. And his heart pumps peanut butter. Leave that foolishness alone and behind. And here's a way that you can do it. Get yourself an RV. Get yourself a motorhome. You can steal away in the night. Get yourself a travel trailer. That's cheaper. Get yourself a fifth wheel. If you like driving big old trucks, you like driving, get yourself a fifth wheel. They say this is like a house on wheels. It's very roomy and wide. And then they have pullouts all over the place that make it look like a big old house. Oh, yes. And buy that thing. Pay cash for it. If you need to get a used one, fine. Pay it. Pay for it. And that's your house. That's what you live in. It's paid for. And here are a few benefits of living in an RV during the coronavirus. A few more things. A few more benefits. With each new outbreak, there is a sense of panic. Whether it's swine flu, SARS, or coronavirus, which is the worst ever compared to these two, and Ebola too, the world inevitably moves on. And I'll just say this. Just this is free. This is not. I digress a little bit. You know, I'm very hard on President Obama for causing the government to sanction homosexuality. I'm very hard, and I'm very, very mad about that. Here it is, a black man who gets the opportunity for the first time would do something like that. made his dad turn over in his grave. However, when it came down to the Ebola crisis, I believe President Obama handled that real well. I give him credit. I give credit where credit is due. I can't stand what he did with the homosexual situation, but I give credit where credit is due. He handled that Ebola situation quite well, by the grace of God. Anyway, that's not to say that tragically, people do not die, which is a primary reason to self-quarantine. But it is to say that you should plan on living and moving forward. People are dying now in this plague in large numbers. But by the grace of God, you need to plan to live on after this plague, if that's God's will for your life. Sometimes a little alone time and seclusion can put your life and your belief system in the proper perspective. As outbreaks like coronavirus continue to unfold, traditional vacation options that often incorporate hundreds or even thousands of people together in one place will quickly lose favor. RVing or owning an RV, promises to be the next best alternative. I highly recommend it to you. I know that there are not many blacks in it, but you can get in it, and you need to get in it while you can. Most RVers are already familiar with the benefits of the RV lifestyle. While for some it is a hobby, for others it is a lifestyle. No matter what your prevalence, the time to RV and to own an RV is now. You need to have that ability to steal away. For those of you who do not want to do the RV lifestyle, you want something more sturdy, that's understandable. There is alternative housing that's not the same as the housing we have today in our communities and in our suburbs. You can buy off-grid housing from farm and ranch. Now always remember, now when I'm talking to you about moving, I'm talking about moving into something you own, not into an apartment, not into a house you gotta rent. I'm talking about you're pulling together the money you can, the equity you can, the investments you can, and paying for something that is yours and you have the deed to. I believe you're going to need that in the future if you want to survive. And always remember, if we don't repent, something worse can come. So you need to take heed to what I'm telling you. Farm and Ranch is the premier online destination for exceptional farms, ranches, and land for sale. For over 20 years, Farm and Ranch Publishing LLC has united discerning buyers and sellers of fine rural real estate with thousands of rural properties for sale. Buy your log cabin. Buy your ranch house with a big old fence around it, and nobody can even see the house up on the hill from the street. That's a beautiful thing. And then have you an electronic gate and security. People can't pull off the road and come get you. Have you some dogs that show up at the gate, at the fence, when somebody tries to jump the fence. Put some electricity on your fence. You'll be all right. And by all means, get yourself a gun. You can buy a mini house. You can buy a tiny house from tumbleweedhouses.com. Write it down. You don't need all that. This plague brings about the anti-prosperity gospel. You don't need a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill. You don't need all of that. You need a tiny house. You need an RV. You need some property out there in the country somewhere that you can buy cheap right now. But you better move because it's going up. You know why? The rich folks are moving out into the countryside. They're leaving New York and they're leaving Atlanta and they're leaving Chicago. They're moving down in the country. That's right. That's what the rich folks are doing. And I would advise you to follow them and hurry up and get yours, because they're blocking people from getting into certain places right now as I speak. Yeah, they're questioning you about what city you come from. You can buy one of their pre-designed models or design your own. Their houses can be pulled by your car like an RV. Not a car. I mean, you got to have a vehicle. I mean, you got to have an RV. I mean, you got to have a truck or something. Not your car. I don't know where that came from. You got to have something. A Suburban or something. And so I promise you, beloved, that I would help you with the home family life, the home church life, the home school life, and the home business life. Because by the grace of God, God has prepared me to help you, because I've done it for many years. I'm an ordained Baptist preacher, and so I've done it for many years. And traveled all over the world and preached the gospel. Served as pastor in the church setting, and started a church and so forth and so on. Served as interim pastor, and so I'm able to, God bless me to be able to do some things that you may not be able to do, but you can at least have home worship and home devotions, family devotions. And that's family church to me. That's home church to me. Today, however, we're going to deal with the home business. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5 says, the thoughts of the diligent, that's the thoughts of the hardworking people, tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Question, and this is for Dr. Dave Ramsey. Joe in Pittsburgh works for a family business and has no ownership. What's the best way to handle the interpersonal relationships between family members who come and go within the company? We have to talk about it, Dr. Dave Ramsey says. And so my kids, even when they were 12 years old, working the book table at a live event, were told they had to work twice as hard to be respected as a Ramsey, because everyone thinks they're going to be a screw-up. Everybody assumes your kid is a screw-up when they come to work for you because they couldn't get a job anywhere else. So they've got to bring it, is his answer. To get respected, they've got to bring it. That's part of the hiring process of a family member. And if they don't bring it, guess what? You've got to put on that president's hat and fire your child. Yes, that's right. Fire your child. You say, preacher, have you ever fired your children? Yes, all of them. All of them have been fired at least once. Maybe not my oldest child, Danny. I don't think I ever fired her, but I fired everybody else. Maybe not my second daughter. I want to be accurate. But I have fired everybody else. You see, have you ever fired your wife? I sure have. I fired her from many jobs. Yes, I have. But now, when you have a family business, you're going to have to rehire them as well. So you give them another job. And one of the best things you can do for your child is to fire them. If they're not doing the job right, they're not doing it with the right attitude and spirit, you need to fire them. And they'll learn. And almost all of them have been fired once, two times or three times. And after that third time, they got it. They got it. They go on after that. And they go ahead and do their job because they know Papa will fire them. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And it's a painful thing to fire your child, but you got to do it to help them. For real life, if you will. Okay? But you're not firing, Ramsey says, but you're not firing your child. You're firing an incompetent employee. But you still are firing your child. Reprimanding them is the same way. Expecting their sales calls to be up is the same way. Expecting them to be on time with their shirt tail tucked in is the same way. All of that falls under the same heading. So in a sense, you have to treat your family as employees. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for allowing us to have this briefing time together. And Lord, thank you so much for those who have helped put the briefing together and so that we can give it to the people and to help them to stay and stop the plague by repentance or survive the plague by being humble and being wise and downsizing and thinking differently. And Lord, we pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have your Holy Ghost to move upon the hearts of all of the people listening to me. And Lord, help them to pray to you. Help them to follow no one but you. That includes me. And help them to get their answers from you. And lead them and guide them and direct them in the way that you want them to go. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you are with us today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and from hell. First, please understand that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Please understand with me that because of your sins, you deserve punishment in that awful place called hell. Hell is a place of the blackness of darkness, according to the Bible. Hell is a place, according to Jesus, of weeping and wailing and grinding of the teeth. Hell is a place of torment, according to Luke 16. Hell, sadly, is a place of no return. Once you go there, it's done. You will never get out. You will never have a second chance. You will spend eternity in that awful place called hell. So it behooves you to get saved from hell today by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." This includes physical death and spiritual death in hell. But here is the good news. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The phrase, "for God so loved the world," means that if you are in this world, God loves you. No matter what you have done, God loves you. And he's willing to save you by his grace through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. The next phrase, "that he gave his only begotten Son," refers to Jesus Christ. He is God's Son who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And he was buried and rose on the third day early the following Sunday morning. Our next phrase is that whosoever believeth in him. The word whosoever means anybody at any time. The phrase believeth in him means to trust in him, to depend upon him, to rely on him, or to have faith in him for your soul's salvation. Our next phrase, beloved, is "should not perish," and that refers to eternal punishment in that awful place called hell that I described to you earlier. And then the final phrase is "but have everlasting life," and this means to live eternally in heaven with God, with Jesus, with the angels, and with the people of God. The Holy Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. So, dear friend, if you're willing to believe in your heart today on the Lord Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. You don't have to be in a church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to do good works to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or to the preacher to get saved. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, suffered, bled, and died for your sins. He paid your sin debt, was buried, and by the power of God rose on the third day early one Sunday morning. That is the gospel. That is the good news. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And if you're willing to do that, I'm willing to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer, the calling on God to save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. For I have lied before. I have stolen things before. I have coveted after and lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored, disrespected, and disobeyed my parents. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. I have sinned against you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. Help me, Lord, to be truly sorry for my sins against you. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus, I receive you now into my heart and into my spirit. Please save my soul from hell. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past. Help me to truly turn from my evil life and to truly follow you, Lord Jesus, into the new life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book, free of charge, titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friends, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.